To Apropos of Something, airing every Saturday morning from 10 to 11, co-hosted by me, Ellen Daniels, in Charlottesville, and Nancy Lawrence, coming to you from New York City. We talk to Charlottesville citizens who are most impacted by the latest scratch-your-head federal policies and bring you the most interesting guests we can find. We guarantee every show will be Apropos of Something. Here on Apropos of Something, we are very grateful for the sponsorship of the Beckham team at Keller Williams Realty. Today, we're talking with Kate Zirkel from Planned Parenthood, Victoria Valdez from Surge Charlottesville, and Nevada Canapati and Emily Hayes from Girl Up United Nations Foundation. But first, Nancy, are you there?
Ellen, I am here.
Can I say how relieved I am every time when I say, are you there, that you're really there?
You and me both. I completely agree. I wonder if I'm winding up in like a bowling alley somewhere talking to nobody. So I am always relieved when I hear your voice.
Yes.
And because I was on the line listening to you, I have been listening for this wire to be tapped, and I'm not hearing it. So I'm pretty sure we're in
good.
The clear.
I thought you were serious. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm feeling better about that. And I was wondering, though, you know, because we are so used to... getting so used to speaking to each other this way, what would happen when we actually meet each other again? You know, are we going to be able to make eye contact? It's on my mind.
I cannot wait for the day that I get back to New York City to see you in your element. And, you know, speaking of tapping and all that.
Can I ask me if I'm here? No. Are you there?
No. Okay. I think I got a text from my blender. All the talk about microwaves and Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
What have you gotten a contact?
No, it was just like this anonymous text from my blender. Anyway.
In your blender. Well, all right. Well, maybe, you know, keep it apart from your microwave. You don't want those things, you know, teaming up on you in the morning.
No.
And then not being able to drive over there, wherever that is. Speaking of over there, I know that you guys, I think I do anyway, the UVA is still in the March madness.
I know. Speaking of madness... you know, I'm in a bracket, but I can't say what's happening, really. I think I'm ahead in the family bracket, but I just do it because I'm told to do it. And I kind of pick by the statistics. But yes, yay UVA, back to, you know, where we are. Do you mind if I tell you something else you may not know about that has happened in the news?
I would really like to speak about basketball, as you know,
go
but
on.
Please.
Okay, yes, I know you're kidding.
Come on.
Baseball is your sport. Monopoly has eliminated two more token pieces out of the game. First, they eliminated the iron. Remember the iron and then the thimble? And now the boot. The boot is gone and the wheelbarrow.
Goodness. Did they put in a microwave and a blender?
No,
this
but
is
they
happening.
Put in,
it's major.
They put in a rubber duck, a penguin, and a T-Rex dinosaur. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. I'm impressed you don't know about this, and I do, because you know you're so much more aware of what's going on.
This is acting. I knew all of that. I was in on the meetings. I'm totally up on the Monopoly.
I'm not happy about T-Rex and the duck, but I do love penguins.
Okay, good to know. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that they would go so animal. That's so so not Monopoly. I don't know.
You know, with all the stuff, it's just distraction what goes on in the news, and these are the kinds of important issues that we're missing.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. I'm actually so relieved it's a board game and it isn't only available by Sega or, you know, Wii or some sort of PlayStation, which it probably is for all I know, and I apologize if it's already out there as a competitive game.
Don't think so.
In someone's basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't think so?
Yeah.
All right, so who do you have winning before
I get out of
this?
I think Villanova or Duke. See, that's how bad. I don't even know. I put
Nova?
Villanova.
Villanova. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Villanova or Duke, but you're not signing your name to it because it's not in front of you.
But
you have no idea.
If I win, I will claim the prize, whatever that may be.
I would, of course. And maybe at that point, you know, we get in like some sound effects on the board because you don't have enough to do.
Oh man, so I cannot wait for the day when I can, you know, do some sound effects like the big guys do.
Especially Actually, because did your Monopoly breaking news not deserve some sort of breaking news sound?
You know, we would have meetings beforehand, like for hours, that we'd go back and forth about what the sound would be. Oh, when can we go back to the days where I just call you and you're my friend and we just talk about...
Those days are long gone, Ellen. Mm-hmm. We have really permanently shifted, and now we have to make a face for the world. And I'm sure the world is listening.
Yes.
And only later will we wind up in a tabloid, but, you know, we'll long be, I don't know, underground or...
I know. It's
dust or something.
It's a whole new world.
Yes, I have already actually defriended you as a result of all of this. You know, I know that's why you're bringing it up.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like moving. I feel like rolling.
Please.
Okay.
Continue.
Because
I don't want to get in the way of that.
We like to bring humor because there's such horrible things going on. But a couple of events of activism I wanted to mention. Very interesting one tomorrow at 2 at the Haven. A citizens' hearing about the Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch. That's at the Haven at 2. People can ask questions, listen to speakers, including Slate editor Dahlia Lithwick and the assistant Commonwealth's attorney of Seville. They'll both be there to answer questions and discuss. Also, a staffer from Senator Warner's office will be there who will be reporting back to Warner. So I think that's worthy. Then next Saturday, our friend Sarah Hale at Charlottesville High School is organizing, I think for the fifth time, We Are the Line. They're holding their annual candlelight vigil dedicated to bringing awareness to the topic of violence against women, started by Charlottesville High School students, as I mentioned. It will be on the downtown mall at the Free Speech Wall, and that is March 25th at 6:30. We've got a week until that one happens.
Sound good. Mm-hmm. Sound good, Ellen.
Yeah, they're doing some good things, and I think two guests of ours are going to be attending, it looked like. I won't mention their names, but some teen activists that we had on the show. So I want to get to our first guest, who I'm very honored came to visit with us. Her name is Kate Zirkel. She is Director of Philanthropy for Planned Parenthood South Atlantic in Charlottesville. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Great.
Hey, Kate. I was just wondering, with all of the things we want to ask you, how did you get started at Planned Parenthood, and why?
I have been working with Planned Parenthood for about 2.5 years.
Okay.
I was approached by a friend of mine that knew there was this position opened, and she wanted someone local to fill it. We had worked on other nonprofits in the past, and so she, at her suggestion, I applied.
Okay. Cool. And now that you are there, why? Please tell us why these Planned Parenthood health centers are so important. What is their mission?
Well, Planned Parenthood is important because we provide accessible, high-quality health care and information to our patients. We are the leading provider of high-quality, affordable health care for women and men and young people. And we are the nation's largest provider of sex education. Planned Parenthood South Atlantic includes, we are an affiliate, Planned Parenthood South Atlantic. This includes Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and West Virginia, actually just part of Virginia. Mm-hmm. We are one of 56 independent local affiliates that operate nearly 650 health centers throughout the U.S.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And of those 650, 54% are in areas where there is a shortage of healthcare professionals. So really they're important because without the Planned Parenthood health centers, many would have nowhere to go for preventative care.
That was just on my mind. That's another of the many things that people really don't know exactly what it is Planned Parenthood provides. They actually do. They are preventative care facility for many people, right? I mean, that's
absolutely
where they go.
Absolutely. And in addition to our education, what we provide communities as far as sex education and such.
Right. And actually, could you list... Aside from education, I know there are others. There are many other services you guys do. Can you explain?
Sure. So in general, Planned Parenthood provides life savings, cancer screenings, STI testing and treatment, birth control, well woman exams, pregnancy testing and options counseling, breast exams, emergency contraception, and medical and surgical abortion services. The services can vary by location, but in terms of the services offered here in Charlottesville, they include preventative measures like high blood pressure screening. We do vasectomy services. We provide hormone replacement therapy for our transgender patients, tetanus vaccinations, flu vaccinations, hepatitis A vaccinations, and even employment and sports physicals.
Is this common with most of the other locations that you provide? It's always a variety of services. May not be the same ones. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the main focus of what you provide, which actually I had no idea that Charlottesville was so comprehensive, but is all of that, do people take advantage of all of that, do you find?
Well, for the most part, yes.
Well, that's good.
It's
okay.
There.
And how do you provide the education for the community that you're, you know, be they students or young adults? Sex education.
We believe that young people deserve access to information and resources to make necessary lifelong healthy decisions. The way we do that is that we have a wonderful educator on staff. She generally provides multi-session sex education programs that use an evidence-based curriculum. And one of those, there's basically several ways we provide education to the Charlottesville area. And one of them is our Planned Parenthood South Atlantic Teen Peer Education Program. This provides adolescents ages 13 to 18 with medically accurate factual information. And the educator, our wonderful educator, trains these teens to be peer educators that work within their schools and communities to disseminate this information to other teens.
That sounds amazing. I don't want to interrupt. Sorry, please.
No, I mean it's actually I've really enjoyed observing this program. Interested teens apply to the program. They're interviewed and accepted into the program. They go through a comprehensive training during the summer, after which they share their knowledge to peers in various ways. But we don't leave the parents out. There are several activities that involve parents, such as cell phone free game nights. I've observed a particular closeness within the group. The teen educators tend to stay year after year until they graduate from high school. And we've in the past had graduation ceremonies for them with parents.
When you've talked to them, are there things that leave an impression on you that they've told you about their own experience?
You know, I can't say that I have asked them direct information about their experience, but what I have observed is a particular kind of closeness in that, which I don't think is, easily come by for an adolescent group. Mm. There is a definite attitude of 100% trust. They talk about real issues in their own lives, in their families' lives, and they have a great amount of respect for each other, and that's just evident.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And they actually go into the high schools, or is this education program? Oh, it sounds like you already know what I'm going to ask. So anyway, go ahead, please.
Well, as far as I think what you're asking is sort of how the teens deliver education.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So they do. They'll go out in pairs and they'll visit other schools, private schools, public schools. They'll do sessions peer education sessions on different topics. They can also be a regular standing part of a school's sex education curriculum.
Wow.
The other way they do, they deliver their education or their what their knowledge is through community partnerships. We provide educational sessions and workshops on topics that our partners identify as needed, such as pregnancy prevention and healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. We conduct a number of parenting workshops for neighborhood communities, churches. And I'm just kind of scraping the surface here. But it's safe to say that Planned Parenthood is involved with a number of local organizations and nonprofits who care about the health of our youth in this community.
Just wanted to say, for people just tuning in, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville and Resistance Radio. This is Apropos of Something with Ellen Daniels, that's me, and Nancy Lawrence coming from New York City. And we're talking with Kate Zirkel of Planned Parenthood.
And Kate, I'm glad you mentioned, even though, you know, as you say, just scraping, you know, the bare, or, you know, just some of the things that they do, but that's why we're so glad you're here, because I feel anyway, you know, there is so much value to Planned Parenthood. I mean, that essential preventative care and all the screenings you mentioned and the sex ed. So how can people take action to ensure their access to health care? What do you
recommend? A couple simple ways. As director of philanthropy, I would not be doing my job if I didn't say,
right?
Suggest donate to your local Planned Parenthood health center. You can go to give.ppsat.org and give online. You can become a sustainer, give a monthly gift. That is greatly appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
The second suggestion I have might be a surprise to your listeners, and that is become a patient. Make your next reproductive health care appointment at your local Planned Parenthood Health Center. You can go simply Google Planned Parenthood Charlottesville. You'll find our website where you can make an appointment online. And this is important because insured patients provide Planned Parenthood with a source of revenue. So by choosing Planned Parenthood as your healthcare provider, you support Planned Parenthood and all it does. Plus, you will love the health center staff. They're fabulous.
That is amazing. I'm glad you answered the question that way. I had never heard any of that before. And in terms of lately, you know, when we hear that Congress once again is talking about defunding Planned Parenthood, what is its intent? How is Planned Parenthood going to be possibly affected by that?
Well, if you allow me, I'll back up a little bit there.
We're going to have to go to a break in a second, so I want to answer the question and also give it brief. You wanted to say something, I believe.
Well, going to istandwithplannedparenthood.org will keep you up to date, one. And as far as the defunding of Planned Parenthood, it's kind of a misnomer.
Okay.
To really understand what federal funds pay for at Planned Parenthood, well, first of all, most federal funding is through Medicaid reimbursement for preventative health care that Planned Parenthood receives. And to understand it, you have to know that not one federal tax dollar pays for abortions. The federal funding comes from Medicaid. And it's just like any other kind of health insurance. Medicaid reimbursements reimburses Planned Parenthood's doctors and nurses for services. There's no special favors. Defunding basically is defunding patients that need assistance in getting health care.
And then one last thing, I believe you have something, a job opening you may have wanted to talk about.
We do. We are ramping things up here in Charlottesville. We have a field organizer position available.
And I would say that if you want more information, you can call. I'll take the call. Not right now, but you can call the station. Leave a message for me. Yes, Nancy's on the line. And we need her. Yes, don't apologize. But contact the station, ask for Ellen Daniels, or you want to leave a message about this, and we will be happy to liaise about that. And I wanted to thank you so much for coming in, Kate Zirkle from Planned Parenthood.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Apropos of Something. We are very grateful for our sponsor, the Beckham team at Keller Williams, and we will be back after a quick break. You're listening to Apropos of Something on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville Resistance Radio, brought to you by the Beckham team at Keller Williams, our sponsor. This is Ellen Daniels.
for that music to fade down, because I was jamming. I'm sorry. So, as you know, Ellen, this is when we are, unfortunately, making time to highlight a day's disaster from when last we spoke. Mm. And I'm actually now clinging to my penguin, hoping that giving this enough gravitas. Anyway, so my sad day's disaster is when I read that Afghan citizens who are helping the U.S. government and the military, they risk their lives, you know, assisting them out there against the Taliban, they apparently are being told they can no longer apply for special visas to the U.S. The U.S. has run out. There's 10,000 applicants trying, you know, to get safe passage back here, or that assurance, you know, that they can come here. And right now they're being told, you know, we're abandoning you and you're totally exposed out there. So what do you got?
So mine is that the budget chief, Mulvaney, said that the proposed budget is indeed compassionate. It just makes me really, really want to cry. Things like slashing Meals on Wheels, people that depend on it, elderly, veterans, disabled, people who need food.
Yeah. I saw a couple of clips of that guy. I know of what you speak. I think I remember hearing him saying something like, "We don't think it's not serving anybody in terms of something like that for Meals on Wheels.
Right.
It's not working.
Right.
It's not working. So we don't want to waste your money on it."
This is actually not true, of course.
Yeah.
Let's get back upbeat.
Okay.
I feel depressed.
Bring in the penguin.
Yeah. Our second guest is Victoria Valdez. She's on the advisory board, and she's a member, an activist with Surge Charlottesville. Welcome, Victoria.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks for being here. So let's try to... Okay. So first, the obvious question I'd like to know is, what do the letters stand for Surge, and what really is Surge?
Okay, so Surge, S-U-R-J, is showing up for racial justice. And the idea behind Surge is really to support people of color-led movements for justice here in the United States as a sort of auxiliary force. It's about educating white people about our privilege, about what we are sort of dealing with here in the U.S. in terms of racism against people of color. The sort of active racism that we see going on every single day here in the United States, and just drawing attention to that, educating ourselves about that, and then supporting people of color when they wish to take action against that. And, in fact, going ahead and taking initiative to draw other white people in and to educate them so that that burden doesn't always fall on the people of color in our community.
Right, that we're, or the white people, we're all accountable. We're just as accountable. It's just as, that's what you're saying, right? It's everyone's responsibility.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And what are some of the tactics you use to get your message across?
So we tend to try to do as much work out on the ground as we possibly can. That means going to a lot of protests, putting our bodies in between people of color, black organizers in Charlottesville, and the police, and people who could particularly harm them, who may not be as willing to harm white folks. So we're attempting to sort of be that ground troop that defends against violence, and that puts our bodies out there as a representation of our willingness to support people of color in their efforts to bring some justice.
And you, I was reading your very impressive website, which is actually something I wanted to mention later in this discussion, but it is very impressive. It is so full of information. And one of the things that I learned in there was that you break down the kinds of accountability you know them. So what are they, please?
Oh, excuse me?
The different kinds of accountability. I know there was like a personal, collective, the organizational, you have camp, that stuff.
Oh, okay. I actually don't have the list of accountability points in front of me. I'm sorry.
Such a technical question, Nancy. I mean, so technical. Very technical question, maybe.
Well, I'm just going off the cuff here, so I'm sure I could give you, if you wanted examples of specific things, I'd be happy to talk about them.
No, that's ours.
But what are
how much has your movement grown since candidate Trump?
Oh, my Lord.
Okay.
It was fairly small initially. Our Charlottesville surge is only about a little less than a year old. So it was, I think it started out with about 30 or 40 people, and it grew steadily. So the first meeting was last August, and I think probably 50 or 60 people showed up. And then the meeting after the election, I think we must have had 300 people packed in to our space.
Wow.
It was incredible. And our mailing list has just grown by leaps and bounds. We have people who, you know, can't always show up to the meetings themselves, but who will come out for protests, who will come out for events, and just really support the movement that way.
What are some successes that you've had or some events that you've done?
Okay, so we have sent people up to support various different movements, including we had folks go up to support the Standing Rock people. We had people go up to the inauguration protest and actually had really great success with that. We shut down a couple of checkpoints, of course, with the help of other organizations that were up there at the time. We had people up to the Women's March. We've had people here in Charlottesville. We took a pretty hard a position against the Lee statue. So we've had a very large contingent of surge members show up to every single community meeting regarding the Lee statue, including the town halls, including the Blue Ribbon Commission meetings, and spoken there whenever we were called upon to do so. So that's been a pretty big thing for us. We also did the counter-protest when Corey Stewart showed up to try to drum up support for the Lee statue, which was very successful to the point that he later complained that, quote-unquote, hundreds of Charlottesvillians showed up to shut him down.
And briefly, who is he for people who might not know?
Oh, he was trying to get some support for his candidacy in order to sort of rally the Confederates, if you will, here in Charlottesville.
I won't, no.
No, I'd really not rather either.
I know. I'm sorry.
And because this is, I know the issue of race is hard for people sometimes, or there's a lot of trepidation. Are you experiencing that kind of thing among white people who, or, you know, what are people afraid to do this kind of work, and what does it bring up for people?
Oh yeah, it's challenging when you, as a white person, come face to face for the first time, realizing that you have had privilege for your life, that you have benefited from some of the really toxic social constructs that we labor with here in the U.S. It can be overwhelming, and there's a temptation to sort of sit in your guilt and just say, oh, how could I be this person? But that's totally counterproductive. And in fact, meditating about your own guilt really just recenters you as the most important person in your narrative. Yeah. And it kind of takes the focus off of what really needs to happen, which is you stop being guilty, get out there and do something, change the world. Change the way that we interact with other people, change the expectations, challenge our culture to change.
How do you do that?
So
Did I beat you to the punch, Nancy?
Exactly.
I believe that we can do that every single day in our lives. just by not being quiet when we come face to face with racism, with discrimination, with just attitudes of superiority from other white people, with things that should never, ever have been even conscience, this sort of alt-right movement, which is really just a cute face for neo-Nazism in many aspects. Yeah, not excusing these things. And actually, I think we have probably one of the easiest jobs in terms of recognizing evil that we've ever had, given the administration, given the way that things have been coming down the pipeline from Washington. There's something to protest about almost every single day. Sometimes the risk is just you're just going to get tired.
Mm-hmm. And how can... Is it that people volunteer? You know, how can people volunteer? And you know what? I'll stop right there. How can people volunteer?
That's great. Okay, so we do have a very vibrant Facebook page. We invite you to look up Surge Charlottesville, and once you get hooked in on the Facebook page, we can add you to our mailing list. We'll contact you with. We have an extensive social calendar of events and protests that we are showing up for, or that we are sponsoring, or that we are co-sponsoring, etc. We would love to give anybody interested all the resources to become an active member.
Yeah, I noticed you even have. A large portion of that is, you know, how someone can start their own chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Go ahead, please.
So Charlottesville has a chapter now, but this is really just because a couple of people were pretty done with what was happening in our country and really feeling how painful that was and how they wanted to sort of represent against that. And so they took initiative and created a chapter, and that can be really anyone who has the motivation and has that sort of passion to see justice done. So, you know, we didn't have a surge here a year ago. We could have a surge anywhere in Virginia. And there are a couple other chapters. There's a surge up in D.C. There's a surge in Richmond. But certainly anyone in the surrounding area would be welcome to start their own chapter.
So we're talking with Victoria Valdez of Surge. She's an advisory board member and also an activist with Surge here, showing up for racial justice. And you're listening to Apropos of Something. We're on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville and Resistance Radio. Victoria, how did you get started with Surge?
I had been involved in feminism for many years. I grew up in a very fundamentalist home. Many people would have considered it to be abusive. And I witnessed firsthand the treatment of women within that particular kind of subculture. And I had been exposed to feminism in undergraduate, and I was reading about it, and I ran across Kimberly Crenshaw's intersectionality. And I was floored by the fact that I could finally see from her work that while I had been oppressed in some ways because of being a woman, I had also had many advantages because of presenting as white. And that really hit me very hard, and I realized that without intersectionality, I really didn't have a leg to stand on. I couldn't complain about my own oppression if I wasn't willing to recognize and respect the oppression that other people faced that was even many times leaps and bounds worse than what I did. Mm-hmm. So then last year, there were so many tragic events in the news, so many black folks getting killed. Like, I couldn't stand it, and I was very emotionally and just my whole being was sort of crying out against this terrible injustice, and I went looking for help because I felt very alone, and Surge happened to show up exactly at the time, and I thought, this is exactly what I want to be a part of, something that acknowledges my white privilege that I've had and at the same time will help me to do actual things to change.
That is an amazing answer, Victoria.
Oh.
Thanks for saying all that. And about, you know, integrating with different organizations like Black Lives Matter, have you guys, at least in the ones that you're, the area where you work, have you guys built a partnership, or have you been to the same events many times over, for all I know?
Yeah, well, there's not actually a Black Lives Matter chapter in Charlottesville. We would love there to be, but we do work with the people of color-led organizations here. There are a number of people working on the housing initiative that we have been supporting as much as we can. We have worked with folks from a couple of other organizations that have requested us to come out. We actually worked with Black Lives Matter, but not in Charlottesville. They're the D.C. Gotcha. The D.C. branch, since they don't have a smaller one that's down here. And they were the ones that, for instance, put out the call for us to do the march and boycott when the gentleman from UVA had that racial incident. We marched outside of his restaurant.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Is that something you can talk about, or are you purposely...
Yeah.
Oh, well, I actually had his name written down here in my notes, but when I printed them out, it cut off.
That's okay. You know, I wanted to ask you, because we're coming up to another one of those breaks.
Right.
What would you want people to take away? What do you want people to know? You know, what are the things that you want people to know about Surge or about your work?
I'd say that I think there's a temptation for white folks to sort of throw their hands up and just say, I don't know what I can do. I can't help. All I can do is just, you know, keep living my life and try to keep my head down. But it's our responsibility to do more than that. We have that ability. We have, oftentimes, we are recognized. We can speak. We can be present. We are not often in danger. And because we have that, that is our responsibility to use it.
Mm-hmm.
If I can go back to Spider-Man, with much power comes much responsibility.
Cool.
I love it.
Wow.
Well, we're listening to 94.7 WPVC. We have been speaking with Victoria Valdez of Surge Charlottesville, showing up for racial justice. After this break, we're going to come back with Nevada Canapati and Emily Hayes of Girl Up, United Nations Foundation. So stick with us. Welcome back to Apropos of Something. This is 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, Resistance Radio. This show is sponsored by Beckham Team at Keller Williams. We thank them for their support. So we will be talking now with some members of Girl Up, United Nations Foundation. Our next guest is Nevada Canapati, and she is president of Girl Up. Emily Hayes will be coming up after her, who is organizing an event tomorrow. I want to welcome Nevada.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and what is Girl Up?
So Girl Up is an organization, and the name is actually a pun on the phrase man up, which is said to a lot of boys to kind of get them to conform to this gender norm of being a man and being strong. So Girl Up is kind of taking the reverse of that and showing that girls are strong as well and trying not to conform to these gender stereotypes. So our mission is to empower girls locally and globally to reach their full potential, whether that be in education, career-wise, any aspirations that they have, business-wise, anything like that.
And what is the mission of the organization?
So the mission that I just said was the mission of the larger organization. So in our chapter, we have several different subcommittees that address different parts of that. So we have an advocacy committee that addresses how we can go out into the community and rally Congress members and support certain bills. And then we have an awareness committee, which Emily is a part of, that we go out into the community in our local Charlottesville and UVA community and increase awareness about girls' rights issues. And then we have fundraising, which we raise funds for different girls' support organizations through the UN. And then we have service, and we're working on a partnership with a local school with that.
But you guys are involved in a lot of international issues. Isn't that correct?
Right. So all of our fundraising goes towards international focused issues. So Girl Up National has 6 focus countries, and the money that we raise goes to those countries.
And those countries are?
Just yeah. So sure. We have Ethiopia, Guatemala, India, Liberia, Malawi, and Uganda.
Gotcha. And what kind of aid does Girl Up provide for those developing countries?
Yeah, so they actually provide a whole range of aid depending on the country and depending on the programs that are already there. So, for example, in Guatemala, they have a school cycle program in which they equip girls with bikes to get to and from school, because a lot of times for girls that walk is pretty long and it's also fairly dangerous. So by equipping girls with bikes, we can increase the rate at which they go to school, and when they're coming back, they don't have to worry about sexual assault or just being unsafe in general.
So that raises a good point. So we may not think about those issues living here, most of us. It's
right.
Very safe, but can you talk about, you know, what goes on in these other countries that people that aren't involved may not know about?
Yeah, so I think just the lack of access to a lot of things is something that a lot of people here would not really think about. So for example, a lot of times in rural areas, you would think that they just need to see a doctor about certain issues and there might just be a stigma. But a lot of times there's not a doctor in that community for miles, or the doctor might not have, might not be the correct health professional and might not be saying, the right things, or might have their own stigma against menstruation or things like that. So just kind of these like embedded cultural values that influence the way that the community looks at girls is not something that we really think about in terms of our Western view.
So we're talking with Nevada Kanapati. She's with Girl Up, and we'll be talking to Emily Hayes as well. It's part of the United Nations Foundation, and this is 94.7 WPVC Resistance Radio.
And Nevada, with the information that you had given us, I didn't realize just the, you know, the curve they're on, what girls are on, you know, in that they are harnessed with spending most of their day either doing chores or tending to, you know, their siblings, or fetching water. I don't want to paint with the broadest brush, but so many of them drop out before they get out of primary school, right? I mean, they're just
right. So,
limited.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
And I was just saying, they're just so limited, you know, in every which way.
Yeah. So actually, the UN in 2015, they changed their goals. So they used to have the sustainable or the Millennium Development Goals, and they changed it to the Sustainable Development Goals. And they found that a lot of one of the goals for the MDGs was to increase girls in primary schools. And they found that that was happening and children were attending primary schools. They just weren't attending secondary schools. And that's really important, because that's a lot of the time that girls drop out, because they start menstruating. And in a lot of communities, there's a stigma against this. And so they're asked to stay at home and tend to the chores. And in a lot of countries, the electricity might turn off at a certain time. So if girls are coming home from school and they're doing work until 7 p.m., then by the time that they're ready to do their homework, the electricity is off. So they won't be able to really keep up with school in that way. So it's just kind of this different facets, like all coming together to oppress the girl child.
Right. And I also had no idea how it seemed prevalent enough in the countries that, you know, the UN and Girl Up is involved with. They marry so young, not all of them, but a good percentage of them. That's it. They marry before they're 18.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the statistic is about 1 in 5 girls in developing countries marry before the age of 18, and 1 in 9 marry before the age of 15.
Right, and what I've caught, obviously, once that happens, you know, their idea of opportunities in the business world or training for anything, I mean, obviously that just ends right there.
Right.
Right.
And this is an organization to get girls involved, mostly adolescents. Is that right?
Yes.
So how would people, how can people get involved?
So right now we have about, I think, over 1,000 chapters and clubs. So they're mainly composed of high school chapters and college. And so that's where the target is right now in terms of getting people involved in the organization. However, there's a lot of events that we as Girl Up are trying to put on in the community to get the community to engage more with these issues, because a lot of times women's rights issues are really prevalent and they're extremely important, don't get me wrong, but I think girls' issues are often overlooked, and I believe that girls' issues are really the potential that they have the potential to create a lot of change, because when you address girls' issues, you're addressing it at the root of the problem. So if you empower a girl, then she can become someone that doesn't shy away from things because she hasn't been told no enough yet. And there's, and I think that that is really the reason why we started Girl Up, because addressing the problem at the root is really our goal.
Thanks. And that's a great tie-in to what Emily's going to talk about. There's an event tomorrow she's going to focus on. We've been speaking with Nevada Kanapati from Girl Up, and we're going to turn it over to Emily, who is planning an event called Girls Through the Western Lens. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
So can you tell us about the event, where it is, and what it's all about?
So the Girls Through the Western Lens event tomorrow is at the Unitarian Church on Rugby at 3 p.m. And there's a dual purpose to tomorrow's event, and one is to spark a discussion of how girls and women are viewed through a Western filter in terms of foreign aid and development. And the other is for Girl Up to form a relationship with the United Nations Association Blue Ridge chapter as dialogue, as the foundation, because it's really important to get college students and older people in the community to come together to discuss these issues as a dialogue, so we can both learn from and challenge both of our perspectives.
So what kind of audience are you hoping to reach?
So the event is free and open to the public, so anyone with even the slightest inkling of seeing what a girl empowerment club at UVA is all about is welcome to come. And so we're trying to really attract UVA students that are interested in learning about girl and women issues, and also UNA members or anyone in the community that wants to start a conversation with university students.
And is the UN, is the United Nations Foundation involved with this, or is this something you came up with on your own?
So Girl Up is a part of the UN Foundation, and they sponsor us, but the United Nations Association is a chapter in Charlottesville that we decided to partner up with for this event.
I gotcha. And are other is it, not that that's not enough, but are there other organizations as well that are part of your event tomorrow?
So we directly advertise to other girl and women clubs at UVA. So I know UN Women is potentially coming tomorrow and their members.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And did you say where it was?
Yes, the Unitarian Church on Rugby.
Okay, and it's at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay, great. So we're talking with Emily Hayes from Girl Up, and we just spoke to Nevada Kanapati. Thanks, Nevada. So, Emily, how did you get involved with this topic and this group?
So Nevada started this club last spring, and she was looking for exec board members to help jumpstart the club. And I was looking for a club at UVA that I could get really deeply involved in. And I was involved in Girl Scouts when I was in high school and other mentoring programs. And Beyonce is my role model, so I knew a girl empowerment club would be a good fit for me. And so this interest in girl and women issues and my study in Middle Eastern and women and gender studies have had a tremendous impact on me, and has really developed my passion to be an advocate for women in the future after graduation.
Mm-hmm. the two of you, you're like Girl Up and Away. I'm just so over the moon about what you're doing.
You guys
couldn't be more sincere about it. I mean, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you.
Do you have? I know you're welcome. I believe you're students. Do you have other events coming up? I say that because I know that's not your full-time job. So I'm just curious. Do you have Girl Up events in the works?
Yes. So Girl Up later this spring is having a spelling bee at UVA, where we're having university professors battle it out to see who can be the best speller on grounds. And this will act as our fundraising event for Girl Up projects in Uganda.
Wow.
Fantastic. That is fantastic. Cool.
Well, I'd like to thank our guests who we've had today on 94.7. This is apropos of something. First, thanks to Emily Hayes and Nevada Kanapati. They are UVA students with Girl Up, United Nations Foundation, and their event is tomorrow. And if you'd like to get in touch with them and you can't find them, just contact the station. That goes for anything that we talk about, and ask for to relay a message to me, Ellen Daniels. And let's thank Kate Zirkov with Planned Parenthood. We really appreciate her coming by. And also Victoria Valdez with Surge Charlottesville. So, Nancy, next week we have an amazing show booked.
Very impressive, Ellen. This may be our first time we actually can do this.
Right.
I'm certain it is, so I'm sorry. Please, continue.
It's true. We have Yehudit Bachar. Oh, I'm not going to get it right. I always want to do like the Hebrew pronunciation, but it's Yudhijit.
Go on.
Yudhijit Bhattacharjee. About he's an author. He's coming to town for the Virginia Festival of the Book, and we're lucky enough to have him stop by. He wrote The Spy Who Couldn't Spell, A Dyslexic Traitor, An Unbreakable Code, and the FBI's Hunt for America's Stolen Secrets. That looks like a really interesting book. And then we're going to change the topic. This is for next week. We're going to discuss some history, offenses against, and issues facing American Indians with Karen Wood. She's a Seville resident and member of the Monacan Indian Nation. And then Casey Keeler is an expert on American Indian housing policy in the mid-20th century. So that will be a really interesting discussion, I believe, next week.
Yes. Then allow me to, at least I feel like if we're going to, within the hour, provide a day's disaster, we should at least exit with a palate cleanser. Let's like wipe it away.
Okay.
And mine for this week is that I was walking on the street the other day, truly I was, and I decided to pick up the Metro card that was in front of me, and usually they are discarded because they have been blanked out.
And what
but
is
I
a Metro card?
For whatever reason,
what's a Metro
and
card?
I swiped it.
What's a Metro card?
Subway.
Subway. Okay, gotcha.
For the subway. Gotcha. And so I finally, just yesterday, actually swiped it to see if it, if I was expecting it to say zero, but it said there was like $10 in change on it. And so I have like three to four. If I use it fast enough before the ride value goes up, I have like four free rides
on
the subway.
People, send your Metro cards to Nancy in New York City. I'm sure they'll get to her. If you have any unused rides. No, that's fantastic, because I think I always find money when I'm in New York, when I'm like hanging out with you.
Yeah. You did do that once, I do remember. Anyway, sorry, what do you got?
No, I'm glad. I don't mean to make light of it. I really think that's great. $10, I mean. So for me, I am likely going to a maple festival in Monterey, Virginia today, and that is a place like Switzerland, and they do all things maple.
Oh, that's, I gotcha. Okay.
Like maple syrup. They're like doing the sugar, there's sugar runs or sugar somethings. They boil the maple, the water that comes out of the tree, and they make maple syrup. And then there's pancakes, and there's, of course, bluegrass music and all kinds of stuff.
Of course, bluegrass music. Well, I'm sure it's maple flavored music.
Yes.
But don't undersell these guys. I'm sure it's.
Right.
And are you going to like, try the most complicated maple flavored fill in the blank, or yes?
Yes. And we're running out of time quickly. The maple flows, remember, no one has to do everything, but everyone has to do something in our political climate here. And I wanted to acknowledge our theme music by Springtide. N3540 19800 is that fantastic name. And thank you to all of our guests and to Keller Williams, Beckham team at Keller Williams. And we will see you next week, when we can guarantee we will be apropos of something.
Mm-hmm.